今天是2021年1月20日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到了 Radha Charan Prabhu， 我们继续来讲解永恒的 Chaitanya 经 ，Sri Chaitanya Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai。
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 24, the 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse.
今天我们继续来学习永恒的 Chaitanya 经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 中篇逍遥的第24章中篇逍遥的第24章Atmaram 师节的61项解释。
This is the Atmarama verse, not Atmaram Prabhu.
I know. 这是 Atmaram 师节。
So, we continue on the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami.
我们继续来讨论是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 与 Sanatan Goswami 的对话。
And those teachings are so important.Because Lord Chaitanya wants to give full power to Sanatan Goswami.
那他们的这个教导，其实呢，马哈帕布教导是非常的重要的，因为其他呢，马哈帕布呢要赋予 Sanatan Goswami 全部的力量。
In many ways, every devotee is empowered to spread Krishna consciousness.
那换句话说呢，其实每一个奉献者。都可以被赋予力量去传播 Krishna 知觉。
And it is actually everyone's duty to absorb the teachings of Lord Krishna and to share them with others.
事实上呢，每一个奉献者都有责任去吸收主 Krishna 的教导并且去传播 Krishna 知觉，分享他人。
One does not need to be so learned.
不需要非得非常的博学了。
So just to understand and to accept within one's heart is enough to touch other people.
一个人只要内心完全的理解，并且去接受，那他就可以去触动别人的内心。
But there will always be some very unique individuals who will be empowered to become acharyas.
但是呢，总是有一些非常出类拔萃的人，他们会。被赋予特别的力量，然后他们会脱颖而出，成为 Acharya。
And Lord Chaitanya has been working systematically through just a handful of disciples to give the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 虽然身边的这些奉献者并不多，但是呢，他们却被赋予了很大的力量。他们可以把整个的 Krishna 知觉都传递给他人。
Lord Chaitanya himself, as we know, only left behind the Shikshastakam, the 8 verses on the glories of the Holy Name.
那我们大家都众所周知的 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他只留下了主的八训规，也就是有关圣名的八个师节。
But even those 8 verses, when they are each one of them unfolded, each word of every verse actually contains the entire philosophy of the Vedas.
事实上，每一段师节中的每一个词。都是完全的展现了伟大经典的整个的教导。
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave so many teachings, especially to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 特别教导了 Vrindavan 的六 Goswami.
And then, because they are empowered, they are able to unleash within their writings everything that there is to know about Krishna.
因为他们被 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 赋予了能量，所以呢，他们就可以通过他们的文字，通过他们的文献把 Krishna 的教导都释放出来。
So the six Goswamis of Vrindavan have been glorified by Srinivas Acharya.
那 Srinivas Acharya 呢，对Vrindavan 的六 Goswami 进行了荣耀。
For systematically studying all the Vedic literatures and giving us the essence of all the Vedas.
他荣耀这六位 Goswami 呢。就是知悉了所有的伟达经典，然后把伟达经典的精髓部分提炼出来，分享大众。
So Sanatan Goswami has been learning from Lord Chaitanya for 2 months.
那 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他用了两个月的时间从师于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
First, we heard the different levels of devotional service.
首先，我们听到的是有关奉献服务的不同层面。
Then Lord Chaitanya began to describe the different aspects of the Atmarama verse, which is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就基于圣典薄伽瓦坛里面的有关的 Atmarama 的这个师姐，他就是进一步的，从不同的角度去阐释。
And then he gave the examples through the stories of Narada Muni and Mugrari the hunter.
然后他又讲了一个故事，就是 Narada Muni 和那个猎人 Mugrari 之间的故事。
That story is actually timeless.
这个故事呢，其实是没有办法追溯它的时空时间的，也就是说超越时空的。
This is not the story of a hunter. This is the story of every conditioned soul.
事实上呢，这不是说只是一个猎人的一个故事，而是所有的受条件限制的灵魂的故事。
Through that story, we understand exactly how the process of Krishna consciousness works.
那通过这个故事呢，我们就看到了 Krishna 知觉的这个程序，它是怎样的发挥作用的。
And that's the main factor of beginning the journey back to the spiritual world is meeting a bona fide spiritual master.
而回归神首，回归灵性世界的这个旅途的起点，就是在于遇到了一位真正的名副其实的灵性导师。
Once we have accepted the instruction and the guidance of a spiritual master, then we are guaranteed to reach our destination, which is Goloka Vrindavan.
一旦我们接受了来自于灵性导师的教导和训示之后，我们就已经走向了通往我们的家园，也就是 Goloka Vrindavan 的道路。
So Sanatan Goswami is He is amazed at the erudition and level of transcendental knowledge of Lord Chaitanya.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的博学以及他的这种超然知识的这种深度，令 Sanatan Goswami 大为倾倒。
So Sanatan Goswami, after hearing all this transcendental presentation of the knowledge, he falls at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and begins to offer prayers.
那当 Sanatan Goswami 听完了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 从不同的超然层面所给他呈现的这一切的这个知识之后呢， Sanatan Goswami 他就感动的顶拜在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的莲花足下。
So of course his prayers are based on his own personal understanding and realization about the identity of Lord Chaitanya.
他就开始祈祷。那他祈祷的一开始，他就讲到了对这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的就是真实身份的觉悟。
Shakshat Ishvara Tumi Brajendra Nandan Tomara Nivashe Sarva Veda Pravartan. My dear Lord, You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. All the Vedic literatures are vibrated through your breathing.
那陀那他告诉阿弥就说，亲爱的主啊，您就是至尊人格首神 Krishna， 您就是 Nanda Maharaj 之子，一切的伟大经典都在您的一呼一吸之间震动。So
this particular glorification is very significant.
那这一段荣耀呢，这一段祈祷呢，它是。
Because Sanatan Goswami so far has been sitting in front of his spiritual master who presents himself as an acharya. Lord Chaitanya is posing as a teacher of the science of Krishna consciousness.
那Chaitanya Mahaprabhu呢，他呈现的自我身份是一位去传递 Krishna 知觉科学的一位导师。
But that kind of knowledge, such as what Sanatan Goswami has been receiving so far, cannot be just coming from an acharya, but actually is directly coming from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
那Sanatan Goswami他所接受的这些知识呢，不可能只是从一位Acharya的口中接受的。事实上，这所有的这些超人的知识，一定是从至尊人格手中的口中流淌而出的。
So he sees Lord Chaitanya as non-different than Krishna.
所以呢，在他的眼里呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu和至尊主本人是没有分别的。And
is as the son of Nanda Maharaj, so this is directly pointing to the position of Lord Chaitanya as being non-different from Krishna in Vrindavan.
那尤其呢，他在这里说到了是 Nanda Maharaj 之子，意思就是说他已经看出 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就是。
Then he says, My dear Lord, you are the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. You therefore know its real import. But for you, no one can understand the confidential meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后他接着说呢，亲爱的主啊，您就是圣典博伽瓦坛最始源的讲述者，因此您知道它的。 真实要义，但对您来说，没有一个人能够了解圣典博伽瓦坛的奥义。So
Sanatan Goswami is now putting emphasis on the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam.
那这个时候呢，Sanatan Goswami 他就荣耀了圣典博伽瓦坛的意义。Because
this was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most important literature.
因为对Chaitanya Mahaprabhu来说呢，圣典博伽瓦坛是最重要的文献。Why
is that?
为什么这么说呢?
Because the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam culminates in taking full shelter in Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastime in Vrindavan.
那因为呢，圣典博伽瓦坛的这个终极顶点就是在Krishna 在
So all the cantos from 1 to 9 are there to guide and to lead and to support the 10th canto, which is Krishna's transcendental pastimes.
所以说圣典博伽瓦坛第一篇到第九篇的所有的这个 内容其实是对读者起到了一个引领的这个作用，以及这个支，它是对圣典博伽瓦坛的第十篇的一个支持和引导。那这个，第十篇呢，是指的是 Krishna 的逍遥时光。Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu replies, Why are you glorifying me personally? You should understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you consider this important point?
那吉泰尼亚马哈帕布就回答说呢，为什么你要荣耀我这个人呢？你应当要明白圣典博加瓦坛的超然的地位。为什么你不把这一点当成是一个重要？
So Sanatan Goswami praises.
那这个萨那坦格斯瓦米他荣耀切特尼亚马哈帕布啊，说他呢就是至尊人格首神，就是至尊主，同时呢他又是第一位去讲述圣典波加瓦坛的人。
But Lord Chaitanya is not Lord Chaitanya is not putting importance on how Sanatan Goswami glorified him.He wants him to concentrate on the glories of the Bhagavatam, not on Lord Chaitanya's glories.
但是呢，就是 Sanatan Goswami 他是在荣耀 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 本人，但是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 却不希望他把这个关注点放在自己身上。相反呢，他希望 Sanatan Goswami 更多的去荣耀圣典波加瓦坛。
So basically, he's saying, "Don't worry about me and what you think I am. Concentrate on the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam."
那他的基本上他的意思就是说，你不要来关注我，也不要太注意我究竟是谁啊，你应当把你的注意点放在圣典博加瓦坛上啊，更多的去荣耀博加瓦坛的重要性。
He says, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashraya Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Artakoy Srimad Bhagavatam.Is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings.
在这里就说到圣典博加瓦坛以 Krishna 一般伟大 Krishna 就是至尊主，是万事万物的庇护所。在圣典博加瓦坛中的每一个诗节以及每一个音节当中都蕴含着丰富的含义。
So this is something which we may not be qualified enough to understand, but Srila Prabhupada has commented on that particular verse.
那么关于这一点，我们可能还没有不具备足够的资格去理解。但是呢，就关于这个世界，Srila Prabhupada他也是做了非常丰富的要旨阐释。
When Prabhupada mentioned that every single word in the Srimad Bhagavatam, every syllable is actually has the power to deliver pure devotional service.
Srila Prabhupada 在说呢，圣典博加瓦坛中的每一个词、每一个音节都可以完全的传递奉爱服务的力量。
So,The form of the Srimad Bhagavatam is given in questions and answers. Thus, the conclusion is established. By hearing these questions and answers, one is highly astonished.
然后他说呢，圣典博加瓦坛是以问答的形式展开的，这样这个结论就被确立起来。通过去聆听这些问答，一个人会大为的震惊。
So the person who is asking the questions, namely Maharaj Parikshit, is asking the perfect questions, and Shukadeva Goswami gives the answers that are perfect answers. So each time there is a question, each time the answer brings a conclusion.
那其实圣典博加瓦坛就是在 Parish Maharaj 和Sukadeva Goswami 之间展开，而 Parish Maharaj 呢提出的问题都是完美的，而 Sukadeva Goswami 的回答也是完美的。而每一次的这个回答呢，都得出了完美的这个结论。
So Lord Chaitanya is placing emphasis on the Srimad Bhagavatam for a very good reason that he is quoting in the beginning of the first canto, now that Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us by whom religious principles are presently protected.
那这是 这样呢，马哈佛布呢，他如此的强调圣典博加瓦坛的这个重要性是有充分的理由的，所以呢，他就先是引出了圣典博加瓦坛第一个世界，最开始的地方，啊，就是他说到呢，就是啊，现在绝对真理是 Krishna 圣主 Krishna， 神秘力量之主离开了他的居所，那么请告诉我，宗教原则将托庇于何方？
So Kali Yuga has begun. The sages of Naimisharanya are very, very concerned. Krishna left. He went back to the spiritual world. So how are we going to feel the presence of Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga?
就是在这里呢，就是在圣典博加瓦坛的开篇之处，就是讲到了那卡利年代的人感到非常的困惑了。Krishna 他已经离开了这个物质世界。也回归了至尊人格守神，那么在这个卡利年代的这个众生这个时候还应当，那么就应该向何处去托庇呢？宗教原则应当托庇于何处呢？
So they also mention after Lord Krishna departed for his abode along with religious principles and transcendental knowledge, this Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, has risen like the sunIn this age of Kali, to enlighten those who have no spiritual vision.
然后接下来就是说到，就是当主 Krishna 离开了，就是当主 Krishna 离开了地球，回归他的带着这个宗教的原则以及超然的知识，回归他的居所之时，这个 Purana， 也就是往事书、圣典、博加瓦坛，就像。在卡利年代，就像太阳一样冉冉升起，照亮了，所有的，没有超然视域的人的视野。
So it is being declared here that the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna, and it is the Srimad Bhagavatam which will give people spiritual vision for the rest of Kali Yuga.
就是说呢，圣典博加瓦坛与主 Krishna 是没有任何的分别的，而在这个卡利年代呢，圣典博加瓦坛就会代表主 Krishna 去启亮众生的眼睛，也就是卡利年代的愚昧的人的眼睛。
So even though Lord Chaitanya appears in Kali Yuga as a devotee of Krishna, but he is non-different than Krishna, still he is pointing to the authority of scriptures.For guiding people.
那这个其实呢，主 Krishna 他以其他两马哈帕布的身份显现在这个卡利年代，其实他就是至尊主本人，但是他依然呢，指向了就是圣典博加瓦坛，认为在这个卡利年代的人就应当去托庇于圣典博加瓦坛，就好比是托庇于至尊主。
So.For Lord Chaitanya, the authority has always been the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are no other scriptures to his eyes.
所以呢，在这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的眼里，圣典博加瓦坛就是最至高无上的权威，没有其他的经典可以扮演这个角色。
And anyone who studies thoroughly the Srimad Bhagavatam and is engaged in devotional service will actually transcend this material world and be situated on.Pure devotional platform.
那么所有的透彻的知悉了圣典博加瓦坛的人都会去从事奉爱服务established in what?
Pure devotion.
然后呢就能够他们就能够完全的确立在超然的纯粹的奉爱服务之中。
Now Lord Chaitanya says like he says in this way like a madmanI have explained the meaning of just one verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence.
刚才我更正一下，就是说这个，这样的奉献者呢，他们就能够坚处在超然的奉爱服务之中。然后呢，其他那马哈帕布说呢，我就像是一个疯子一样，只是用一个诗节就解释了其中的含义，我并不知道。谁能够将此作为一个证据？
In other words, you have to be a madman to be able to understand the meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
这句话的另外一个含义就是它言下之意就是说，你要是真的想就是如果一个人他能够只通过一个时节都明白圣典波迦瓦他的要义的话，他一定是个疯子。
But he's not talking about a madman as someone who is mentally retarded.
他指的这个疯子并不是说像是一个非常的这个迟钝的这么一个人。
He's referring to someone who is mad in love with Krishna.
这个疯子，这个疯狂指的是疯狂的爱着 Krishna。
So he says, if I present the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who is going to be able to understand it?
然后呢，他的意思就是说，如果我去呈现圣典波迦瓦坛的意义的话，有谁能够理解呢？
Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is there specifically to present the beautiful form of Lord Krishna and his transcendental pastime. Unless you are actually attached to hear about those pastimes, then you won't understand the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那因为呢，就是圣典波迦瓦坛它呈现的是主 Krishna 美丽的形体以及他的不可思议的超然的逍遥时光。换句话说，除非你能够真正的去理解觉悟到这个 Krishna 的逍遥时光，否则的话，你是根本没有办法理解圣典波迦瓦坛的。
So in other words, unless one becomes a strict follower of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's teachings, then reading the Srimad Bhagavatam will not bear much result.
意思就是说呢，除非一个人他能够追随主切塔尼亚马哈帕布的脚步，追随切塔尼亚马哈帕布的教导，否则的话呢，他的这个圣典博加瓦坛的研习就不会有什么实质性的成果。
And Prabhupada is very clear on this. He says, if you read the Bhagavatam and you read the Bhagavad Gita, or you don't follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, you're not going to understand anything.
释迦牟尼佛对这一点也是非常明确的，他就是说，即便你去研习了、学习了这个圣典波迦瓦坛，还有波迦梵歌，但是呢，如果说你不去追随切特尼亚马哈帕布的话，那么你可以说是还是一无所知。
So, Sanatan Goswami, he is approaching Lord Chaitanya with folded hands, and he says, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of Vaishnavas."
那这个 Sanatan Goswami 就是我亲爱的主啊，你训令我，让我去，撰写有关 Vaishnava 奉献者的活动。
So now Sanatan Goswami is changing topic.
在这里 ，Sanatan Goswami 呢，他是双手合十这么说的。这个时候呢 ，Sanatan Goswami 呢，他就转移了话题。
The glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam was there to support Lord Chaitanya's explanation, 61 explanation of the Atmarama verse.
那在这里之所以对圣典波迦瓦坛大为荣耀呢？其实他是对接下来的 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Atmaram 这个师节的61项解释做了一个铺垫。
So Sanatan Goswami has understood that. Now he wants to move on to the next topic.
那 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他已经明白了圣典国家瓦坛的重要性，所以呢，他就继续开始讲下一个话题。
And there is a context to his inquiry.
那他的这个询问呢，就是有一个背景的。
Because Lord Chaitanya asked Sanatan Goswami to write books on the science of devotional service.
因为呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他给 Sanatan Goswami 一个训令，让他去撰写有关于Krishna 知觉的这个超然科学的文献。
So writing books on the science of devotional service means also about the activities of devotees, because they are the ones who practice devotional service.
那这个是专门是让他去写有关奉爱服务的这个科学。当然，你要一写到这个奉爱服务的科学的话，一定是要提到这个奉献者的，因为是奉献者在全身心的从事奉爱服务。
But there is a problem here.
但是呢，这里有一个问题。
Sanatan Goswami says, I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities?
萨那坦 Goswami 他就问了一个问题，他说呢，我其实是出身最为低贱的，最为低下的。我对于什么是正确的行为一无所知。那既然如此，我怎么可能有能力去撰写有关于 Vaishnava 活动的这些就是 authorized， 就是写有关于 Vaishnava 活动的一个权威性的文字呢？
You okay?
I'm just confused, not sure about the directions.
Directions means guidelines. Guidelines.
导引.
Yes. So.Why is Sanatana Goswami saying this?
那为什么 Sanatana Goswami 他要这么说呢？
When he say I am a most low-born person, we know that he is expressing himself out of humility.
当他说他自己出身低下的时候，我们都知道他是出于一种谦卑，所以他才这么说的。
Then he says I have no knowledge of good behavior.
然后呢，他接下来说呢。我对于什么是正确的行为、
so、
良好的行为我也一无所知。
You want me to write a book on Vaishnava activities, but actually, I don't have those qualifications.
他说呢，就是你想让我写一下有关于 Vaishnava 的这些活动，但是呢，实际上呢，我是没有任何资格的。
Because even though Sanatana Goswami was born in a Brahmin family,
因为呢，就是虽然是 Sanatana Goswami， 他是出生在一个婆罗门的家庭。
He had to give up his Brahminical standard to work for a Muslim king.
但是呢，为了为一位穆斯林的国王工作，就是效力于一个穆斯林的国王，他甚至呢，他都不得不放弃他的婆罗门的标准。
He and his brother Rupa.They had to give up their Brahmanical standard, and they even have to give up their names and take Muslim names.
他和他的弟弟 Rupa Goswami 呢，甚至得放弃这个婆罗门的名号，放弃婆罗门的这个标准，然后甚至给自己取了这个穆斯林的名字。
So they became government servants.
所以呢，他们就成。一个政府的公仆。
And a brahmana is no one's servant.
但是呢，作为一个婆罗门来说的话，他不能做任何人的仆人。
The Varnashram system shows that everyone serves the brahmanas.
因为在这个 Varnashram 四社会阶层是灵性进阶的这个体系里面，这个社会当中的所有的人是去服务于婆罗门的。
The brahmana's service to society is to give.Good example in their behavior and to give transcendental knowledge. That is their service to society.
那这个婆罗门他对于整个社会的这个服务是树立一个非常好的榜样，也就是说以身作则，并且去传播超然的知识，这才是他们对整个社会的服务。
But brahmanas don't engage in menial service, especially brahmanas don't serve kings.
那这个通常来说，婆罗门他是不会去做这种卑微的仆人式的这种服务的。尤其是他不会去服务于一个国王。
So Sanatana Goswami had given all these positions to serve a Muslim king. It is not even within the Vedic standard.Of a Hindu king, we're talking a Muslim king.
那就是 Sanatana Goswami， 他就是放弃了这一切，他去效力于一位国王，而且这个国王还不是伟大意义中的一个印度的国王，一个国君，而是一个穆斯林国君。
He was working for an invader.
也就是说，穆斯林他们是属于侵略者，那他等于就是去。效忠于一个侵略者了。
So he had become, he was considered to be a low-born person, an outcast.
所以呢，他这个就是被逐于这个，等于相当于是被驱逐于这个社会的各阶层之外了。那么 他既然都变成了一个穆斯林，有了穆斯林的名字，那他就是说他自己其实是出身非常的低下。
So he feels he has, it's not his position to do this. This is going to attract a lot of criticism.
所以呢，他觉得他自己没有这个资格去啊、去描写这个 Vaishnava 奉献者。他觉得他如果这样做的话，一定会招来许多的责难啊。
However, we know that Sanatana Goswami is a pure devotee.
但是呢，我们是知道的 ，Sanatana Goswami 是一位纯粹的奉献者。
So he is showing the proper behavior, how to approach the qualification for teaching topics about Krishna.
所以实际上他是为我们树立了一个榜样，告诉我们怎么样去具备这样的一种啊、资格去。描述有关 Krishna 的话题。
And this is, we're talking here about the situation of Sanatana Goswami, who is such an exalted Vaishnava, but it's exactly the same for any devotee who joins Krishna consciousness, who is coming from the lowest family possible.
那 Sanatana Goswami 呢，他当然是一位非常崇高的奉献者。那么、既然他都是如此，那么这个原则其实也是适用于所有的进入 Krishna 直觉的奉献者，哪怕他们是从一个最低下的一个处境当中产生的。
What gives us the authority to speak about Krishna?
就是说，当我们去描述 Krishna 的时候，我们究竟应当是基于什么样的权威呢？
What gives us the power to engage people in devotional service.
是什么赋予了我们力量啊、去教导人们去从事奉爱服务呢？
Because we follow the instructions of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami by taking the step-by-step procedure to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master to engage in his service.
那我们的这个原则应当就是去、追随 Sanatana Goswami 和、Rupa Goswami 的脚步，然后我们托庇于一位真正的灵性导师，在这位灵性导师的指导下去从事奉爱服务，这就是、我们所基于的权威所在。
So even though Sanatana Goswami is more than qualified, he still has to take the humble position and beg Lord Chaitanya to empower him.
虽然呢 Sanatana Goswami 他是、极其的、具备这个崇高的资格的，但是呢他依然还是非常谦卑的、顶拜在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的莲花足下、去祈求他的这个仁慈。
Because to write transcendental literature, as Prabhupada says here, is not the job of just anybody.
因为呢，就像是帕帕在这里所述的，就是去撰写有关超然知识的这些文献呢，并不是普通常人可以做到的。
Vaishnava literature is not a product of a mental concoction.
Vaishnava 文献呢，并不是心智推敲的产物。
They have to be blessed, they have to be empowered, and they have to be authorized.
必须首先要得到祝福，得到权威的这个认可，而且呢，需要被赋予力量。
So Sanatana says, please, personally tell me how I can write this difficult book about Vaishnav behavior. Please.Manifest yourself in my heart.
Sanatana Goswami 呢，接下来就向主发出了这个请求。他说：“请您亲自的告诉我，要撰写 Vaishnava 的行为这样一部书是极其艰巨的，去撰写这样一部书是一个极其艰巨的任务。请您告诉我应当如何去描述，请在我的心。”中向我亲自展示吧。
So this means that a devotee is always placing himself or herself as an instrument, and Krishna does everything through the devotee.
那在这里呢，就是意思就是说，一个奉献者他总是把自己 置于主的手中的一个工具的这样的一个地位，而 Krishna 呢，他是至尊主，是通过他来发挥作用的。
Whatever a devotee does, whether it's engaged in practical service or in writing or any preaching project, must seek the blessing and the authorizations of the Vaishnavas.
就是每一个奉献者，无论他是做一些普通的这个奉献服务，还是说他在那个撰写一些文献就是还有呢，就是去传教，在这里都有一个前提，这样的奉献者，他首先呢，他应当要去寻求祝福寻求这个权威的认可，这样子呢，有了这个前提之后，他才能去做各种各样的奉献服务。
Sanatan continues, if you would please manifest yourself within my heart and personally direct me in writing this book.Then, although I am low-born, I may hope to be able to write it. You can do this because you, yourself, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whatever you direct is perfect.
然后他接着说呢，就是说，如果呢，您愿意在我的内心中，亲自的显现，亲自的展示你自己，并且呢，亲自的来教导我如何去撰写这部书。那么虽然我是出生的非常的低下，那我或可还有这个希望能够完成这部著作。
Yes.
I haven't finished yet.、Mm. 因为您自己本人就是至尊人格守神，因此你可以做到这一点。无论您对我有什么样的指导，都是完美无瑕的。
So again, this confirms that Sanatan Goswami's project to write this book actually is not written by him. It's written by Krishna within his heart, and therefore it is perfect.
所以呢 ，Sanatan Goswami 呢，他在这里的这些，他写一部书，并不是他自己个人凭着想象和臆测来写的，而是内心中的 Krishna 通过他来写的。
And it is the same Prabhupada said exactly the same thing. He said, "These are not my books. These are Krishna's books. He wrote these books."
那就像释迦牟尼一样，也是一个道理。释迦牟尼在说呢，这些书并不是我写的，而是 Krishna 写的，是他亲自写的。
Lord Chaitanya replies, "Whatever you want to do." You will be able to do correctly by Lord Krishna's favor. He will manifest the real purport.
就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 接着他说呢，无论你想做什么呢，急着 Krishna 的恩典，你一定能够正确的完成。他会向你展示真正的要旨。
Yes. So, Lord Chaitanya.Says, because you ask me for a synopsis, please hear these few indications. Just stop there.
那就是前三天马哈帕布接说呢，他说因为你询问我，希望我能够讲一个梗概，那么就请你聆听我接下来的几个要点吧。
So, here we're talking about a synopsis. He is not asking Lord Chaitanya to tell him everything he's supposed to write.Just give me the essence.
其实就是 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他并没有想让这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 把整部书的所有的这个内容都传授给他，而是说让他呢取其精要，把这个概要告诉 Sanatan Goswami， 就是精髓部分。那 Sanatan Goswami 呢就可以着手了。
So why is it important that there should be such a book that describes?Vaishnava behavior.
那为什么要写这么一部书，专门来讲 Vaishnava 的行为呢？
And this is very, very important to understand.
就是要了解这样的一个有关 Vaishnava 行为准则的这个内容呢，这是对一个任何一个人来说都是极其重要的。
The reason for this book is definitely showing the fact that Lord Chaitanya broke every possible spiritual and social customs. to present Krishna consciousness.
就是因为呢，去写一下这个 Vaishnava 的这个行为，实际上呢，它暗含着一个含义，就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他就是打破了所有的社会习俗规范，这种传统，而是就是凸显了这个 Vaishnava 奉献者的崇高地位。
Because in the Varnashram system, we have the working class Shudra.We have the trading class, Vaishya. We have the administrative class, Kshatriya. And we have the intellectual class, the Brahmanas. But the Vaishnavas are above the Brahmanas.
因为就是在这个社会的阶层的这个分类之中，也就是 Varnashram 的这个制度当中 ，Varna 呢就是包括劳工阶层，就是 Shudra， 然后是商贾阶层。那就是Vaishya， 然后还有呢，就是夏地利这个国王和管理的这个阶层，然后是知识阶层，就是婆罗门。但是呢 ，Vaishnava 奉献者呢，是哪怕是 Vaishnava 奉献者，都是高于婆罗门的。
Now in the material world, the Brahmanas are the highest of all human beings.
在这个物质世界里面，婆罗门的地位在这个人类中是最至高无上的。
They are the representation and the authority of Lord Krishna in the material world.
他们可以说就是在物质世界的主 Krishna 的代表。
Krishna speaks through the Brahmana, Krishna eats through the Brahmana, Krishna sees through the Brahmanas.
Krishna 呢是通过婆罗门之口来进食来说话，也通过婆罗门的。去思考 ，to think through this Brahman.
See.
通过这个婆罗门去看。
So Brahmanas actually are in some.
来想呢，这个婆罗门就是主 Krishna 的化身。
Just like the kings who are Raja Rishis, who are saintly kings, they are the incarnation of Krishna to. Manage the whole kingdom.
就像这个国王，他们都被尊称为是 Rajarishi， 就是圣王。实际上呢，他们也就是代表的至尊主 Krishna， 去统治臣民。
But when we speak about Vaishnavas, we speak about something which is beyond this material world.
但是当我们提到 Vaishnava 的时候 ，Vaishnava 这个词呢？它的含义就是远远的超过了这个物质世界的范畴。
So to write a book on Vaishnav behavior, it means that you are setting up rules that will help conditioned souls to go beyond the Varnashram and qualify to be in the spiritual world.
所以说呢，如果他要写的这一部书是有关于 Vaishnava 行为的，实际上呢，他就是。在描述作为 Vaishnava 的一个行为的准则，就是这个标准究竟是什么的。所以说呢，它实际上是在给这个物质世界的受条件限制的这个灵魂一个机会，让他们有章可循，让他们知道怎么样一步一步的超越这个物质世界的这个 Varna 这些社会的阶层，还有他的这种身份，而到达这个超然的。灵性世界。
So someone who is a Vaishnava is actually not from this world.
所以说呢，这个 Vaishnava 奉献者，他实际上呢，并不是来自于这个世俗世界的。
Therefore, this book is necessary because at that time, 500 years ago, the Brahmanical class was not understanding this concept.
所以这样一部有关于 Vaishnava 行为的这个书呢，是非常的有必要的，因为在500年前的这个婆罗门，他们已经称不上是一个模范了。
And if Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami were going to just present pure Krishna consciousness and completely turn their back on that Brahmanical society, it would create a big mess.
如果说 Sanatan Goswami 这个和 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 只是直接的就是选择背离这个婆罗门这个 阶层，而去树立 Vaishnava 的崇高地位的话，他们如果直接这么做的话，可能就会给这个社会带来啊这种混乱。
So this book was to accommodate the expectations of the Brahmanical community, but even more than that.
那其实呢，在这部书里面呢，它也涵盖了。对于这个婆罗门这个阶层的一种啊期待的一种标准，但是呢，又不仅仅局限于这种啊婆罗门的标准，又是超越于婆罗门的。
Not only this book was going to accommodate the expectation of the Brahmanical quality, but also accommodate every human beings around the world.
啊，这部书不仅是涵盖了啊婆罗门。应当所具备的这种啊品格，对这种品格的期待，而且它也就是涵盖了这个世界上的所有的人，他们所应当具有的作为人的一种行为规范。
Not just the brahmanas, but every single member of society, even those who are the lowest of humans.
就是。不仅仅指的是婆罗门了，它还除了婆罗门之外，还讲到了啊，就是在这个社会当中，所有的阶层的人士所都应当具备的一些品格，哪怕是这个最低下的、出身最低贱的一些人。
So this book was outwardly manifested by the transcendental writing of Sanatan Goswami under the name of.Hari Bhakti Vilas.
啊，那这个 Sanatan Goswami 呢？后来啊，他就是用了他超然的笔触描写了 Vaishnava 的行为。那这部书的名字呢，就冠以一个书名，叫做 Hari Bhakti Vilas.
So this book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, contains all the. It's like a manual. It contains all the directions, the rules, the rituals, how you're supposed to do things.What you should do, what you should not do, that's why it's called, what's it called? A directory, is that what he called it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
那就是就是所以呢就是Sanatan Goswami 呢他就写了这部 Hari Bhakti Vilas, 在这个 Hari Bhakti Vilas 就是讲到了一个 Vaishnava 奉献者他应当要有什么样的一些行为的准则。甚至不仅是这个 Vaishnava 还有这作为人他们应当有什么样的行为规范应当做什么不应当做什么还有包括这种各种的这个仪式啊还有这些反正就是各种各样的标准都浓缩在这部书里面了所以呢这相当于就是一部 Vaishnava 行为的指南It's not just Vaishnava, but also other...
No. It's based on Vaishnava principles, but it has rules and regulations that can be accepted by the Brahmanical class.
Okay. 那其实 Hari Bhakti Vilas 它是这部书是基于这个 Vaishnava 的准则来写的但是它里面说的很多的这些规范原则这些标准细则呢又是婆罗门阶层能够接受的所以呢，它被称为是一部行为指南。
But the aim of such a book is not to make the Brahmins happy, is to actually introduce all the different aspects of devotional service so that one can reach the highest level of pure bhakti.
那是就是说，但是这部书它并不是写这部书是来取悦婆罗门的，让婆罗门感到非常的满意高兴，而是说呢，他就是就是讲述了整个作为 Vaishnava 他行为还有他的品格的方方面面，他可以引导世人达到这种超然的层面。
And some of those guidelines that Lord Chaitanya is going to give were also used by Srila Rupa Goswami when he wrote.The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion.
那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，在这里所说到的一些标准，一些指导呢，后来又被 Rupa Goswami 所采纳，就是在他的《奉爱的甘露》，就是《奉爱甘露之阳》这本书里面呢，他也写到了。
So this book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, is often quoted by the Acharyas, and Prabhupada also quotes it quite often.
那么这部经典呢，就是 Hari Bhakti Vilas 呢，是历代的这个 Acharya 们经常引用的。那甚至就是包括 Srila Prabhupada 也经常的引述这部书。
So what is the first guideline that Lord Chaitanya introduces?
那在这里呢，这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 让他写的第一准则是什么呢？
He says, in the beginning.Describe how one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master.
所以说他在这里等于给 Sanatana Goswami 一个纲要。那他首先他说呢，你首先你要去描述，就是你要描述一个人必须要首先，要脱离于一位真正的灵性导师。
In other words, don't try to achieve anything in spiritual life unless you have gone through that first step.Which is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master.
换句话说呢，你首先必须要做好这个基础，也就是说，去脱离一位真正的灵性导师。不要想着马上就要获得其他的奉爱服务当中的这种成就。如果没有脱离于灵性导师的话，其他成就就是无从谈起。
Guru Lakshana, Shishya Lakshana.Donhara Parikshana, Sevya Bhagavan, Sarva Mantra, Vicharana. Your book should describe the characteristics of the bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assuredOf the disciple's position, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna should be described as the worshipable object, and you should describe the Bija Mantra, seed mantra, for the worship of Krishna, as well as for Lord Ram and for other expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
然后他接下来又继续他说了，你在这部书里面，你应当描述一位真正的灵性导师的，就是一个真正的孤儒的特征，以及真正的门徒的特征。这样呢，在就是接受一个灵性导师之前，一个人他应当要确信灵性导师的地位，同样一位灵性导师也要确认这个门徒的位置。那么至尊人格首身 Krishna 呢，应当被描述为是崇拜的对象。你应当去描述这个 Bija Mantra， 就是种子曼陀罗，就是去描述崇拜 Krishna 的种子曼陀罗，以及主 Ram 荣耀主 Ram 的种子曼陀罗，还有至尊人格首身其他的扩展。
Okay, so this is Lord Chaitanya here is laying the foundation for anyone who wants to make spiritual progress on the path of Krishna consciousness.
其实这里就是说，针对于所有的想在 Krishna 知觉上面去求取进步的人，踏上了这条道路的人，那么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，就是为他们就是明确了一个基础。
And Srila Prabhupada here gives a very, very extensive purport.
Srila Prabhupada 在这里呢，他用了很多的笔墨，来这个就是给出他的要旨。
So this will be, we will discuss this verse and the entire purport next week.
关于这个诗节的内涵以及整个的这个要旨，因为这个要旨非常长嘛，那我们就是下周的时间再给大家来细细的分析。
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. 好，我们现在来看一下，Sumukhi Radha Mataji 那边有没有问题。
5:30. I mean, that's probably, I don't know how many pages this is.
This is, question is not directly related to the today's class, but we asked on behalf of some friends who paid attention to Krishna consciousness. The first one is, 今天这两个问题是帮忙正在关注 Krishna 知觉的朋友提问的。第一个是，听说奉献者只吃供奉过的素食，我是一个刚刚开始单一只吃红薯的人。请问 Krishna 可以接受这么单调的食物吗？单一食物需要至少13个月才能把内心身体内脏调整修复好之后才能服食。I've heard that the devotees only accept vegetarian food offered to Krishna. I'm someone who just started eating the sweet potato because it's said that you eat only one kind of food and after 13 months all the organs in your body can be adjusted and be recovered, then you can start eating something normal. My question is whether Krishna can accept this kind of plain food, which means only sweet potato, because that's what I'm eating now. But I also want to offer to Krishna. So that's her question.
Yes, you can.
是的，你可以。
Next
question. 下一个问题。听说奉献者早晚都要沐浴，但是从中国养生来看，早上9点之前都是阳气不足的时间。如果沐浴会给身体造成湿气太重的影响，请问如果我成为奉献者，可以调整早上沐浴时间吗 ？I've heard that devotees are supposed to take shower both morning and evening. However, according to the Chinese medicinal suggestion.The health principles, before 9 o'clock in the morning, one's qi, yin and yang, the yang, like a raja, it's not enough. So if at this time, if you take shower, then the water the humidity will get into your body and accumulate in your body, which will create some disease.Over the time, so I have become a devotee. Can I adjust to my time for taking shower in the morning?
First of all, we have to understand that Chinese medicine is not above the modes of natural nature.
首先我们要知道，就是中医或者你说的这个中国的养生的这个理论，并不是超越于。物质自然三属性的。
And even though Chinese people or the Chinese race may have specific genes,
尽管说这个中国人可能他们的这个基因有些不同。
Chinese are human beings like every other human beings on this planet.
但是中国人也跟这个星球上所有的人一样，都是人而已。
And therefore, they have the same.Ability to transcend the bodily concept of life in order to engage in Krishna's service.
所以说呢，他们也是有这种潜质，可以是超越躯体的化的这种概念，超越躯体的这个局限啊，这种概念而去做这个奉爱服务的。
Now.If we look at the history of the Chinese yatra,
如果我们看一下这个我们的中国这个 yatra 的历史
and supposing that all the Chinese devotees are taking a shower in the morning,
就是中国的奉献者这么多奉献者都是早上一起来就是沐浴的
we have not received a single report of any one of them getting sick because they take a shower in the morning.
但是到目前为止，我们还没有听说有谁是因为早上沐浴所以就生病了。
In addition to that, the way Chinese people lived their life for so many years was that in the morning.
就是以前中国人。所以说早上也没有办法去沐浴。
And apartments were not built with showers, just a bathroom with a tap and a bucket.
在以前的时候，那种公寓楼里面都没有这种莲蓬、这种沐浴的这种硬件设施，无非就是一个水龙头，然后是有这个水桶要接水的。
And people would take during the week they would wipe their faces with a wet towel.
以前呢，这个中国人他们是不会说天天洗澡的，就是一星期。平常都是用毛巾那个沾了这个水洗脸而已。
And then once a week they will go down the street to one place with a wooden bucket and have a full. That's traditional. Those wooden buckets. And have together all the women together would have a full bath.
然后呢，就是以前就是以前中国人自己各自的家里面还没有这种什么热水器啊那种洗澡的设备的时候，莲蓬什么，大家都是一星期一次去到那个澡堂里面，然后那个时候那澡堂里面的这种传统的就是用那种木桶，然后比如说女人们就会在一起洗澡在澡堂里面。
Now with the introduction of new apartment with showers, people started taking showers in China.
然后呢，后来慢慢发展了，这个家里面也安装了这些沐浴的设备了，这种冲澡的设备了，那么大家就开始，洗澡就更多一些了。
Now again, some Chinese people say that they would prefer to have a shower before they go to bed.
那还是有一些中国人，他们就是喜欢在晚上睡觉之前洗澡。
Because they think it's healthy.
因为他们觉得呢，这样子更加的，就是有利于健康。
But again, this is based on the modern natural nature.
但是呢，这样的一种做法，其实也就是还是在这个基于这个物质自然属性上的。
Now, if you don't work, if you don't leave the house, and you want to take your shower later.You can take a shower at 9 o'clock, but don't touch anything until then.
Don't touch anything you have to say related to Christmas.
Your cooking, your artists, your everything, your books, everything.
就是说，如果说呢，你是不用去上班，不用去出门的，那你晚上9点钟再沐浴都是可以的。但是在晚上就是在你这个沐浴之前，其实你的身体是。不洁净的，这个时候你就不要碰任何东西了，包括你的经典啊，厨房里面的这些用具啊，因为 ，OK， 你看。
Now, if you have a hot shower in the morning, especially in the winter, then it will actually help the pore of the skin to open up better.
那其实呢，你在。冬天，比如说，特别是冬天早上的时候，如果你用热水冲一下澡的话，其实可以有助你这个毛孔张开。
And you have a much better mental disposition to start your sadhana.
然后呢，因为你有这样的热水沐浴之后呢，你这个sadhana， 就是你的规范休息的时候，就会有一种更好的精神状态。
So my conclusion is try to have a shower, not cold.In the morning.
所以呢，我给你的建议就是说，你还是要就是热早上的时候可以热水沐浴 ，but it's a quick one. You can say.
That's my advice.
这就是我的一个建议。我补充一下，问一下 ，but for many normal you know Chinese, they think taking a shower takes a long time, and so they think, wow, the humidity gets into my body and will endanger my health.
But I want to know who is sick and who is dying and whose health is deteriorating from taking a shower. No human being has ever reported that.No one.
我刚才说呢，我说一般人就是可能就会认为沐浴或者是冲澡就是要在水里面待很久很久，但是其实作为奉献者，天天早上都冲澡的话，它是很快，换句话说就是这个湿气也不会积攒的太多，然后你很快就擦干了。那 Radhacharan Prabhu 就反问我说，在人类的历史上，到底有没有人是 因为洗澡，然后沐浴等等的而生病的，这样的病例到底有没有？有没有人汇报过这样的病例呢？
Who has ever gone to a doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm not feeling well. So what's the problem? Why I'm taking showers?"
你会不会说到医生那里去？然后呢，医生问你是怎么回事？是因为这个天天洗澡洗的。这种情况好像没有听说过。
Water purifies. Water doesn't make you sick.
这个水它是具有净化作用的。But it's also for cleaning the body, not only for the consciousness, but also for the health of the body too.
Of course.
而且因为就是头一天晚上睡觉的时候，身体的毛孔是张开的，排放出很多的污秽之物，这都是我们眼睛看不到的。所以说，其实它也有很多细菌啊，很多东西对健康不利的。那如果早上很快的用热水冲一下的话，其实呢，对健康反而是有利的。
You may not want to take a shower twice a day, but at least morning time there should be shower.
当然了，就是不一定要一天要洗两次澡，就是至少早上那一次，这个冲一下，用热水来冲澡，这个是其实是对身体很好的，你可以感觉一下。But evening shower actually is not that recommended for the devotees, right?
Huh?
Evening shower is not very healthy. I heard that kind of thing.
Devotee is supposed to take shower 3 times a day.
Okay. So that's
right, because Brahmanical standard, because you engage in deity worship, therefore you have to be clean.
Should I explain?
Yeah.
就是对于这个婆罗门的最高标准来说的话，其实一天要沐浴三次。为什么要沐浴三次呢？因为婆罗门他要是崇拜神像，崇拜神像的这个标准就是要非常的洁净的。所以说呢，传统上的话是三次沐浴呢。总目提瓦达玛塔吉说呢，就是顶拜帕布玛塔吉以及所有奉献者，感恩你们亲自来自玛雅普的甘露。请问。等一下啊，跳上去了。Sanatan Goswami 和 Rupa Goswami 的有关风爱服务的著作，对于刚开始修习的奉献者来说合适阅读吗？刚开始了解 Krishna 知觉的人应该从哪些著作开始？这么多好书一时读不过来，请您给些建议，感恩您。 Thank you very much for your transcendental nectar from the early morning of my apple. My question is, all the books written by Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami regarding Bhakti services, the devotional service, are they suitable for beginners in Krishna consciousness? For those who just got in touch with Krishna consciousness, can you please recommend some books for them to begin with? Because there are so many nice books and we can't cover everything, so there might be some sequence for proposal.
There is a sequence which is called Bhakti Shastri.
有这么一个顺序，就是这个次第啊，就是我们把它称为是 Bhakti Shastri.
I mean, we sell thousands of Bhagavad Gitas. How do you understand that people will open the book and suddenly understand everything about Krishna consciousness?
你看我们派出了几千本、上万本的这个博家梵歌。你能期待有多少人真的把这个书打开，然后真的就能够看懂呢？
We sell full sets of Srimad Bhagavatam to people who still eat meat.
我们甚至把这个整套的圣经波迦瓦坦派给了那些还在吃肉的人。
So this has to do with devotee assessment.
所以呢，这个呢，就是要靠奉献者去评估了。
And the system is the same anywhere in the world where devotees engage in book distribution.
那么对于在世界上所有的派书的奉献者来说呢，都是这样的一个制度。
They have big books with big philosophy. They have medium books with less philosophy. They have small books which are accessible.
就是一般来说，世界上的这个派书者，他们奉献者去派书的时候，都有三类书，小本的书，小书，是中等大小的书，和这个。大部头的书，像国家瓦坛这样，
so,
所以就是你根据它的大小，你就知道这个哲学的含量了。
You have books like Chant and Be Happy.
比如说这个小书它是属于导读性的这种书呢，就比如说唱诵边快乐
Easy Journey to Other Planets，
还有简易星际旅程，就这种帕拉巴德的小书，就是，
Perfect Question, Perfect Answer，
完美对话录
Right？
就这
个King of Knowledge was called Rajavidya，
知识之王，就是And civilization transcendence， 像文明与超然，就这一类的，是吧？帕帕写的这些。
One book that has made a lot of devotees is Science of Self-Realization。
就是觉悟自我的科学这部书呢，它是发展了很多的奉献者的，所以这部书厚一点，但是也是入门者应当去读的。
But there has to be a combination of devotee association people.Don't become convinced just because of the philosophy. People want to see that philosophy being exemplified by someone who's practicing it. That's really what convinces people.
但是你必须要辅之以奉献者的涟漪。其实，人们是不会因为只是读一部书这个哲学，他去看这个哲学，他就变成奉献者了。事实上，人们就仅仅凭着这个经典的这个哲学的这个内容啊，还不一定能马上的心悦诚服。他们实际上是从那些以身作者的奉献者身上而找到这种动力的，因为这些奉献者他们是把这个学到的经典和这些哲学付之于行动了，所以说你可以看到一个实际的一个典范的例子，那他们就会幸福了。 OK， Panchatattva Prabhu 顶拜 Prabhu Mataji 和所有的奉献者学习波迦梵歌和波迦瓦坛，但不追随 Chaitanya， 就 Chaitanya 的教导是没有用的，如何理解这一点？So you just mentioned that it's useless to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam without following Lord Chaitanya's teachings. How to understand that point?
Well, it's very, very clear.
这一点是不言自明的。
Following Lord Chaitanya means following the Goswamis. Following the Goswami means following the Acharyas. Following the Acharyas means following Srila Prabhupada. That's it.Yeah.
因为呢，你追随主 Chaitanya 的主 Chaitanya 了，那就意味着你去追随六哥 Swami， 追随六哥 Swami 就意味着就追随这个传承系出传系中的 Acharya， 那追随这些 Acharya 就意味着追随 Srila Prabhupada， 追随 Srila Prabhupada 就意味着追随一位灵性导师。
Because the content of these two books are exclusively about Krishna.And unless someone is engaged in Krishna's service connected to the disciplic succession, there won't be any realizations.
因为《博迦梵歌》和《博迦瓦坛》这两部著作呢，都是有关于 Krishna 的。但是，除非你去从事对 Krishna 的这种奉献服务，否则的话，你是没有办法真正的理解《博迦梵歌》和《博迦瓦坛》的内容的。就所以说奉献服务给了一个人这种理解超然知识的这种觉悟。
There are hundreds of versions of Bhagavad Gita. They don't bring people to Krishna consciousness. And there are many versions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially by Mayavadi commentators. They actually turn people's hearts sour, not sweet.
博迦梵歌的这个版本呢，前前后后得有几百种了。然后呢，还有盛典博迦瓦坛，也有一些其他的评注者，但是他们都是玛雅瓦底假象中非人格主义的。在读了他们的这些书的话，其实这一个人的内心非但没有变得更加的甜蜜，反而就更变得酸涩了。
I recently listened to a Mayavadi guru.Describe Krishna's transcendental pastimes, I felt offensive just listening to that person.
那就是我最近呢有听了这个有一个 Mayavadi 的假象中的非人格主义者去讲述《博迦瓦坛》里面Krishna 的这个逍遥时光。事实上，我光是听他讲，我就觉得是在冒犯了。
Unless you are connected to the disciplic succession.Realization will not come. This is very, very simple.
除非你是跟这个使徒传系能够相连接，否则的话就是 不可能有任何的觉悟。那前面讲到做奉献服务，必须要是在跟使徒传系的连接中做奉献服务。
And that's the reason why we distribute Prabhupada's books, because when people read the books, even if they don't understand it, they are connected directly to the disciplic succession.
这就是为什么我们要去派发施拉帕帕的书籍，即便人们啊打开书之后不明所以。我根本没有办法理解，但是他们也是直接的和使徒传系连接在一起了。OK， 下一个问题来自于26364425，顶拜布鲁马哈拉吉的莲花族顶拜翻译和主持，请问政治 Varnasham 宗教原则奉爱服之间的关系是什么？非常感谢。Please accept my humble obeisance.I would like to know the relationship between the following: the politics, Varnashram, the religious principles, and bhakti service or devotional service. Thank you very much.
The politics?
Yeah, use the word politics. Politics.
There are two types of Varnashrams.
这个 Varnashram 呢，它是有两种。
One is called Asuric Varnashram and one is called Devi Varnashram.
一种叫做 Asuric Varnashram, 还有一种被称为 Devi Varnashram.
So, in the Vedas, the system of Varnashram is presented and established to keep law and order within the universe.
在这个伟达经里面去呈现这个 Varnashram, 就是四色会阶、三四灵性境界的目的呢，是为了要使整个的这个宇宙能够处在一种它的这个自然律则的统治之下就是。
And that system is introduced by Krishna himself. He mentions that in Bhagavad Gita.
而在《薄伽梵歌》里面呢，这个 Varnashram 的这种制度，它是是由 Krishna 亲自呈现的。
Now, even today, there is a Varnashram system, but it's all mixed up.
今天在我们的这个现在的社会里面，其实也有一种 Varnashram， 就是这种社会制度、社会这种分阶，但是其实都不是那个规则，都是混乱的。
I mean, they are definitely. You can see they are working class people in this world. They are traders. They are administrators, and they are intellectuals.These are all reflections of the original Varnashram.
在社会当中，其实我们可以非常清晰的看到有不同的人从事不同的这个行业，就像我们以前的那个士农工商一样，就是你很清晰的看到有一些人他们就是劳动者，有些人是专门从事商业贸易的，有些人呢，他们就是从事这个管理，还有一些人是属于知识阶层，像教师什么之类的。
And those who don't follow the rules of Varnashram, they're not considered human beings.
那么传统而言，如果一个人他不追随这个 Varnashram 的这样的一个制度的话，就是都谈不上是一个人。
Now, when you use the Varnashram system for material benefit, you fall under the Asuric Varnashram. Asura means it's the opposite of Sura. Sura are demigods, Asuras are demons. Nothing in between.
我们刚才说了，在物质世界的那个 Varnashram 呢，一种被称为 Asuric Varnashram. Asuric 这个词就是从Asura 来的 ，Asura 呢就又从 Shura 来 ，Shura 指的是半神人 ，Asuric 就是恶魔。那如果说你运用这样的一种社会阶层制度，只是和灵性境界的制度，只是为了要达到这个世俗的益处的话，那么它就被归类于这种 Asuric 的这种 Varnashram。
And Devi Varnashram，Devi means divine， means transcendental， means all the different social and ashram status in the Devi Varnashram are all engaged in pure devotional service.
那么另外一类的这个 Varnashram 呢，就不是这种恶魔的这个 Varnashram， 只是为了物质的利益了。另外一面呢，就是说它是超然的，因为它是 Devi Varnashram。Devi 的意思就是半神人，就它指的是神圣的。那么所以呢？ 就是这样的一些玩 Nashram 呢，就指的是无论是在哪个社会阶层还是在哪个灵性进阶阶段的这些人，他们呢就是处在自己的本位上面，但是同时他们都是做这个奉献服务的。
So in other words, in a Devi Varnashram, if someone is in working class position and they are engaged in Krishna's serviceThey are fully satisfied. They don't inspire to become intellectuals. They are very happy serving Krishna in that position.
那换句话说，在这样的一种神圣的 Varnashram Devi Varnashram 之中的，如果说一个人看似是在社会的比较低的这个阶层，就是那些劳工阶层就是说那个庶者阶层。但是呢，他们在尽自己的责任的同时，他们也是在为 Krishna 做奉献服务，所以他们内心中是非常的满足，他们根本就不奢望自己能够变成那些知识分子，也就是婆罗门阶层。
If someone is a street sweeper but constantly meditating on Krishna, why would they aspire to be anything else? They're fully satisfied.
一个清道夫，他只要时时刻刻的去冥想 Krishna 的话，他的内心已经完全的满足了，他为什么还要有什么别的希望别的那个欲求呢？没有，他一定是非常的满足的。
I know one Russian devotee who lives in Israel, and for many years her job was to clean toilets in the schools.
我知道有一个俄罗斯的奉献者，他是祖籍是俄罗斯，但他生活在以色列很多很多年，他都做了同一份工作，就是在一个学校里面打扫卫生间的。
That's what she did to make a living.
那他就是靠这份工作来以为生。
Now on the weekend, she would sit in the temple and do bhajans.
然后呢，到了周末的时候，他就会到庙里面来领唱 bhajan。
And she is famous for her bhajans. When she chants Hare Krishna, devotees cry.
她就是以这个 bhajan 著称的。每一次当她开口 bhajan 唱诵的时候，奉献者们就会不由自主的流下眼泪。
So this is a good example.
所以这是一个很好的例子。But in relationship with the politics, religious principles, and bhakti service.
Yes.It doesn't matter what you do. If you do it for Krishna, it doesn't matter where you are situated in the Varnashram. You don't aspire to be someone else because you are fully satisfied in your position as an eternal servant of Krishna, regardless of your activities.
那就是在这个 Varnashram 的这个制度当中，无论你处在哪个位的社会阶层，在处在哪个位置，只要你是在为 Krishna 做奉爱服务的。你的内心中是完全的满足的，完全的喜乐的，也就是说你是别无所求，你不会想说还要通过一些什么途径要爬上去进入另外一个阶层，你不会有这样的一种愿望。
And actually in the Devi Varnashram, in the Transcendental VarnashramPeople are not Shudras, they're not Vaishyas, they're not Kshatriyas, they're Vaishnavas. That's the point.
而且这个最关键的要点就是在于，在一种 Devi Varnashram, 就是神圣的四社会阶层四灵性进阶的这样的一个体系里面，那其实中的里面的每一个人都不能说他只是 Shudra 或者是 Vaishya 或者就是 Shadili 或者是婆罗门，而是每一个人都是 Vaishnava 奉献者。就是他超越了这些社会的分阶了，这个是要点所在。
So they transcend the Varnashram.
所以他们等于就是超越了这个 Varnashram
的制度。That's what Srila Prabhupada established.
这是 Srila Prabhupada 呢就确立了这样的一个制度。
There are people who fix cars, who cook offerings, who do the aarti, who distribute books, who teach children, who clean the floor.Everyone is engaged in Krishna's service.
就是呢，在他创造的这个社团里面呢，每一个人都各司其职。有修车的，有在厨房里做饭的，有的在神坛上面服务神像的，有派书的，有讲课的，然后有打扫卫生的，还有这个给孩子们教课的，就是 大家都是 Vaishnava 奉献者，已经超越了这种阶层的高低之分了。OK， 下一个问题，是26364427五，明白 Guru Maharaj 莲花组，哎，抱歉啊，我这个跳下来了，还是刚才的那个了。Smoky Raja 说，请问 Guru， 婆罗门不能受雇于任何阶层，真正的奉献者超越婆罗门的地位，但是现在卡尼门那没有具备资格的婆罗门，人人都是书着，甚至连好的书着品质都不具备，这是否意味着要成为真正的奉献者，对于卡尼门那的人们难度太大了，请怎么建立这个信心呢？ So you mentioned in your class that Brahmana is not supposed to be employed by any other social status. So, and a real devotee actually transcends the status of Brahmana. But in this Kali Yuga, we hardly have any qualified Brahmana. Everyone is a Shudra, even far from the real quality of as a Shudra. So does that mean that for the people in the Kali Yuga, it is even more, much more difficult for someone to become a real Vaishnava devotee? So if that's so difficult, how to establish that kind of faith?
No, it's not difficult, actually.
其实呢这个要变成在卡利年代要成为真正的奉献者，这个难度并不大。
What's difficult is when we take material situation as a frame of reference and then we try to compare it. How do we get above that?
这个难就难在呢，我们都是一种物质化的一种思维，以这种物质的这个框架来衡量某一个事物，所以我们就觉得我们一定要一步一步的往上爬，在这个阶层上面要爬到一个很高的位置，我们才能够成为奉献者。
Now the statement that's made regarding Sanatan Goswami was in the context of the Brahmanical situation in India at that time.
那么对于
that Brahmanas are not servants in society, they are served.
那关于 Sanatan Goswami 刚那个对话里面所讲到的。那个婆罗门就是说婆罗门应当是接受别人对他的服务，而不是去服务任何阶层，这个是跟当时的 Sanatan Goswami 所在的那个社会背景是相应的。
There is a wonderful book which maybe in the future should be translated. It's a book based on a series of lectures given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, which is called Brahmanas and Vaishnavas.
有这么一本书，我觉得这个书以后可以翻译成中文。这个是Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 的一个演讲集。那这部书的书名呢，就是《婆罗门与 Vaishnava 奉献者》。
What Srila Prabhupada was trying to accomplish was to create a Brahmanical class, not for the sake of having Brahmanas, but for the sake of having the qualities of a Brahman.
其实施拉帕普帕呢，他有一个意愿，就是说他要建立一个婆罗门群体，但是这个婆罗门不是指的就是说Varnasham 制度里的那种婆罗门高高在上的这个阶层，而是指的是他要创造一群具有婆罗门品格的人。
Papa was not interested to teach people how to be Shudras or Vaishyas. The people already know how to do this.
就是比如说爸爸也不想着再去教人们怎么样去做一个 Shudra, 怎么做一个 Vaishya, 就是一个劳动者阶层。
Papa wanted devotees to have Brahmanical qualities. Samo Dhamma Tapaso Cham Shantira Abjavam Evacha Gyanam Vigyanam Sahitam Brahma Karma Svabhavajam. This is all in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
那就是就是关于怎么样做这个去从事体力活呀，或者是贸易啊，就这些其实普通人世俗人也都知道，是需要爸爸他不会对这一方面他有什么关注，他真正想要创造的就是一群具有婆罗门品格的人。而关于婆罗门品格的这个描述呢，在薄伽梵歌的18章当中呢，就是。
So when you have those Brahmanical qualities, you can easily cultivate Krishna consciousness because you are above the mouths of material nature. That's the point.
就是当你具备这些婆罗门的这些品格的时候呢，对你来说要去培养这个 Krishna 知觉奉献者的品格就更加的容易了，因为它是超越于物质自然属性的，就是物质自然属性的。
Prabhupada says, "What's the price of a Brahmin thread? 2 rupees?"
是啊，帕帕他说一根婆罗门圣线要值多少钱？两个卢比。
One time, Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and you know, in India, the microphones they never work properly, so the mic kept going down like this, going back up. Prabhupada told everybody, "Give me your Brahmin thread." And then he tied it up to, then he said, "Now the microphone is working, I can give lecture."
有一次呢，那个释迦牟尼佛他在公众的一个场合给很多人演讲，那你知道在印度那个时候，那什么设备都要出问题的，所以呢，他讲着讲着，那个话筒就越掉越低，越掉越低，然后释迦牟尼佛就跟一个门徒说，把你的婆罗门圣线给我一下。然后那个奉献者就把婆罗门圣线摘下来给夸夸夸夸，就用那根绳把那个话筒给绑在那个话筒架上面，把它绑紧了。然后他说，哦，现在我可以讲课了。
So Prabhupada wanted devotees to be Brahmana Vaishnavas, means to have Brahmanical qualities in a mode of goodness with Vaishnav behavior, which is purely Krishna conscious. And that is very, very much accessible by devotees, doesn't matter where they come from.
就是释迦牟尼佛希望每一个奉献者都能够成为婆罗门式的 Vaishnava。 那这个含义是什么呢？你具有这个婆罗门的品格，同时呢，你又具有 Vaishnava 奉献者的行为，这样子呢，就是你就真正的具备一个超然的 Vaishnava 奉献者的这种资格了，就是超越于这个物质自然三形态了。那么对于任何一个人来说呢，这个都是适用的，不管你是来自于社会的哪个阶层，你的出身究竟是高贵还是低下。
Don't underestimate the power of prasadam, the power of association, the power of the holy name, and the power of hearing about Krishna.
千万不要低估荣耀普沙朗和奉献者的联谊，唱诵主的圣名，以及聆听有关至尊主的话题，这些奉献服务的力量。
When people get that kind of influence, they don't care about taking your shower early in the morning. They don't care about sleeping on the floor. They don't care about sleeping 6 hours. They'll do anything to get more of this wonderful Krishna consciousness process.
那就是说呢，就是如果奉献者如果人们就是能够接触到刚才所说的这些奉献服务当中的各项的那个内容，并且受到这种很积极的这种影响的话，他们不会在乎这么多世俗的事情了，他们也不会在乎说早上我一早起来要沐浴一下，他们也不会在乎说躺在这个地上呀什么的，因为呢那就因为呢他们已经完全的就是在被这种超然的能量所接触了，所以说他们都处在这种超然之中，在这种超然的奉献服务之中，所以对于那些物质的那些东西，或者给他们带来麻烦的那些东西，他们是不会太在乎的，因为奉献服务是超然进化的。
Once you give people the higher taste, they'll do whatever is required to get more.
也就是说呢，如果人们他们有了这种更高的品位，你给他们更高的品位的时候，他们就会排除一切的困难，继续的这个进步，然后能够找到更高的东西。
How do people go from being meat eaters to never taking bath to getting a Bhagavad Gita to become vegetarian to start chanting 4 rounds to associate with devotees to take initiation? How do people get to that way? Because of the power of spiritual energy. We see it every day happening, step by step.
每天我们都看到有一些人 本来呢是吃肉的，也是早上从来不洗澡的，但是他们怎么就能够获得一本书，去读一本书，然后就开始念诵做一些奉献服务，然后脱离灵性导师启迪，然后跟奉献者进一步的这种联谊，这一步一步到底是怎么发生的呢？看上去非常的神奇，但实际上是因为他们都在这种灵性的这种能量的驱动之下了，所以这个奉献服务是超然的能量。OK， 下一个问题啊 ，Shama Achute says， 啊，今年里讲这个年代没有婆罗门，为什么还有那么多奉献者去二次启迪婆罗门？It is described in the scriptures that in this day and age there is no Brahmana, so why there are so many devotees who get second initiation, which is a Brahmana initiation?
Very good question.
啊，这个问题问得很好。
Well.Someone qualifies as a second initiated devotee if they engage in Brahmanic activities. People who get Brahmanical qualifications, they get Brahman initiation.
就是说，那些具备这个婆罗门品格的人，他们就会获得这个二次启迪，就是婆罗门启迪。
So, originally, Srila Prabhupada's.Conferred second initiation for devotees were mainly engaged in worshipping the deities.
啊，最早的时候呢，释迦牟尼佛他引介了这个二次启迪呢，是为了那些要去服务神像的奉献者们所考虑。就是你要服务神像，必须要二次启迪，是个婆罗门，你给他二次启迪。
And to perform jagyas for initiation or for weddings.
还有呢，这个婆罗门他还需要去啊，就是主持这个火祭啊，就是还有雅典，就是还有呢，就是包括这个火祭呀，雅典。
Prabhupada gave second initiation for devotees who leave the temple because they engage in Brahmanical activities.
还有呢，释迦帕帕也给那些住在那个庙里的这个奉献者也二次启迪，因为呢，他们在庙里面的这种。生活就是婆罗门的是婆罗门式的生活，他们从事婆罗门的一些活动。
He gave initiation to book distributors.
还有就是派出者也是婆罗门。
He gave initiation to anyone who had been in the movement for one year.
最开始的时候，如果是一个奉献者在非常知觉运动里面已经待了有一年了，那么释迦帕帕就通常会给他们二次启迪。
And then second initiation after another year.
不是，先是一次启迪哈，一个一年，然后呢，再过一年的时候呢，才是二次启迪。
Now, it doesn't mean that those who got second initiation kept the standard of Brahmanical.
但是呢，并不意味着那些获得二次启迪、婆罗门启迪的人，他们就会一直的保持婆罗门的标准。
But Prabhupada wanted to create a community of devotees who have Brahmanical qualities.
但是呢，这的确也是释迦牟尼佛的心愿，他希望能够创造一群具有婆罗门品格的奉献者。
Now, in the early days of the Chinese Yatra.No one got second initiation.
在我们中国这个 Yatra 的早期，没有婆罗门的，没有二次启迪的。
Then at one point, Tamal Krishna Goswami gave Brahman initiation to four devotees.
然后后来呢 ，Tamal Krishna Goswami 呢就给四个奉献者二次启迪了。
For the specific purpose to officiate as priest.For initiation and jagyas.
那当时呢，因为需要有人去做这个火祭这个压点这个火祭，还有这种启迪仪式。启迪仪式的时候要有这个祭师去主持这个火祭的。所以说呢，就启迪了这么四个奉献者，也就是说这四个奉献者可以去履行婆罗门的这个职责，去做启迪仪式了。
One in the north, one in the east, one in the south, one in the west.
就是东南西北各个方位，每一个地方都有一个这样的婆罗门。
Then other gurus started to give second initiation.
然后接下来就是其他的 guru 也开始给这个二。
Some they give it because it's like a reward for good behavior.
有的呢是因为这奉献者他的表现非常的出色那他的行为规范都做得非常好，所以这个就好像是一个奖励一样。
Some give it because you've been around long enough, so you should be Brahman initiated.
有的是因为这个已经是第一次洗礼已经很久了。非常长的时间了，所以呢，应该有二次洗礼，然后进步。
But it doesn't mean that those Brahmanical standards are being kept.
但是这并不意味着这些人他二次洗礼之后，他就一直保持着这个婆罗门的标准了。
So a few years ago, we put together a second initiation manual, 20-page manual, which guides devotees who aspire to be Brahman initiated to know what is required to qualify.
所以呢，几年之前我们就专门写了一个婆罗门二次洗礼这个手册，就是对于那些二次洗礼的奉献者以及想要二次洗礼的奉献者，给他们有一个指南，告诉他们的这些行为规范应当是怎么样的，应该保持什么样的品格等等。
But the bottom line is, you don't need Brahman initiation.To reach the level of pure devotion.
但是根本而言的话，你不需要，就是你要获得这个对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱呢，并不一定二次洗礼就是婆罗门洗礼才能够达到。
If you chant the holy name of Krishna purely, then that's your ticket back home, not your Gayatri mantra.
只要是你把这个 Hare Krishna 曼陀罗能够念得非常的纯粹，不带一丝冒犯，你就可以回归神手了，而不是你的 Gayatri 就是二次启迪的这个曼陀罗。 OK， 下一个问题来自于哈尼顶拜咕噜，冬天受愚昧形态影响比较大，睡眠很多，即使早睡也不能早起，每天感觉像打仗似的忙碌不停，但却进步不大，请问我该如何改善目前的状态？我想寻找脱贫于一位咕噜，可以把所有情感和坏事情倾注于在这个咕噜身上呢。 Please accept my humble business. In the winter, normally we are more influenced by the mood of ignorance. For example, we sleep more than before, and even we go to bed early, we can't get up early. Every day, it's like on a battlefield. We are constantly busy, but making very little progress. So how can you give me some suggestion as to how I can improve my situation at this moment? I aspire to take shelter of a guru. In this situation, can I give all my feelings and my heart of love and devotion into this guru?
Well, the first thing I would do is exactly the question that you're asking me, you should ask him.
Ask him. He hasn't got hasn't taken any shelter of a guru.
No, she's aspiring to take shelter of a guru.
I want to look for a guru.
Oh, you want to look for a guru. The point is that the practices, the daily practice of Krishna consciousness, are meant to reach two objectives.
其实我们每天的规范修习呢，是为了达到两个目的。
One is to rise above the modal material nature.
一个呢，就是说要超越于这种物质自然形态或者物质自然属性。
And the other is to become Krishna conscious.
然后第二点呢，就是说培养出 Krishna 知觉来。
So you can't really mitigate or you can't have shortcut on this.
所以呢，这两个标准你是不能走捷径的。
You advance as much as you.Upgrade your standard gradually.
你可以慢慢的循序渐进的去提高你的标准，而相应的呢，就是随着你的行为规范的越来越提高呢，你的Krishna知觉也会越来越提高的。
Through the guidance of the devotees, then you know exactly how far you can go and at what speed you can progress and develop your devotional qualities.
那么你可以在奉献者的指导下面去跟随奉献者的指导去做，你就会知道自己应当是 进步在速度上面有多快，然后幅度上有多大，然后呢你慢慢的你这样去做了之后，你渐渐的就会具备一个奉献者的一个更好的性格，更好的资格。
So you know it's not a race. Krishna consciousness is not a race.
Krishna 知觉并不是在赛跑。
Of course there is a matter of urgency.
当然了，我们的这种紧迫感是的确是十分存在。
Because we don't know how long we're going to live, so we should become Krishna conscious as soon as possible.But you can't be artificial about it.
就是我们呢，因为并不知道我们的生命什么时候终止，所以呢，这种紧迫感的确是有的。我们要尽量努力的去修习 Krishna 知觉呢。但是你去做这些事情的时候，就是不能刻意而为，就是太不自然了，不能太过于人为了，也是要有一个这个自然的。
So you may feel ready to take shelter of a guru, but the guru may feel that you are not ready.
所以你可能是自己心里做好准备了，想要脱离一个guru，那这个guru可能就会认为你还没有做好准备，还没到这个成熟的时候。
You have to be honest with yourself and see how you can naturally progress, but that progress should be steady, not stopping, starting, stopping, starting.
所以呢，你自己呢，就是要。反思一下自己的这个情况，然后看自己用一种什么样的方法能够有一种非常自然而然的，同时又是非常稳定的一种进步。当然我说的这个自然而然的就是一种，并不是说你三天打鱼两天晒网，我指的是自然的越来越提高，就是非常稳定的这么一个过程。
So there's standard of cleanliness, there's daily routine, there is increasing number of rounds, there is diet, all these things, daily study of the books, all these things have to always increase, even if it's a little bit of increase, but never to come down again.
就是说呢，你可以来看一下你平常的这个生活在哪些地方提高，包括早上早起的这个时间，然后每天你在阅读经典上面花的时间，你的念诵的这个圈数是不是提高，每天的生活是不是更有规律，就是你的日常的这种作息上面会不会越来越好就是这个就是说你的这种自然而然的进步哪怕就是说不是一下子非常明显的进步，但是也是要保持这样的一种非常稳定的状态。Even if it's not very big,
yeah. Even if it's a little bit,
yeah.
At least you stick to that level, and then you reach for the next level.
就是虽然你这个跨度不一定那么大，但是你就是每天一点，每天一点，日积月累啊，滴水穿石。但是你不断的往一个更高的方向去走啊，就是越来越提高，越来越提高，而且是一种稳固进步的这样的一个过程，这个就很好了。
Okay.Okay, we're done?
No,
there's one
this
more.
One.
I'm not going to do this too.
Fan Ying 询问说 Divine Guru Maha Mantra 的 Ram 是指的是谁呢? In this Maha Mantra, what does Ram refer to?
Ram means pleasure.
Ram 呢就是快乐，我们说快乐的源泉。
So Ram is the pleasure which is obtained from chanting the holy name, which is Krishna's name.
那这个 Ram 呢，指的是让你去唱诵 Krishna 的圣名的时候，你所获得的这种快乐，这指的是快乐。
And then Prabhupada explains there are three kinds of Rama refer to the Supreme Lord.
然后呢，释迦帕瓦他解释说呢，就是这个 Ram 呢，指的是三位。
One is Balaram.
一个就是 Balaram.
One is Ramachandra.
还有一个是 Ramachandra.
And one is Parashuram.
然后还有一个是 Parashuram.
So those three are none different than Krishna himself.
这三位呢，就是跟 Krishna 是没有分别的，就是。
So in the Maha Mantra, there's Hari, Krishna, and Rama.
所以呢，在这个 Maha Mantra 里面呢，就是有 Hari, Krishna 和 Rama. There's a question related to this Ramana question.
I'm going to take about 5 seconds to answer it.
It will take 5 seconds for me.
So
you decide. Either next week elaborate or 5 seconds now.
因为还有两个问题，但是我们时间已经到了，不能太长了，所以我们可以把这两个问题留到下一次，等Sumo Girada再发给我们。不然呢，我说呢，有一个跟二次启迪有关的这个问题，把它全话不说，我只有五秒钟的时间，那我们还是留在下一次吧。Okay,
thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji. Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation. Thank you to all the devotees and your wonderful questions. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sanatana Goswami ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bol.
白昆塔之音服务源于聆听亲爱的奉献者们今天的永恒的且谈两经是且谈两经而成为他的讲课就到这里结束我们下周同一时间星期三早上七点再见 Hare Krishna 祝大家度过充满 Hare Krishna 之觉的一天